Hi, After Buzzers. You're watching the Outlander After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on After Buzz. We are reviewing episode 11 of season 4, Vengeance is Mine. That is a quote from something, but I can't remember what it is. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. It's M-S-A-D-R-I-A-N-S-N-O-W. And here's my co-host.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at M-L-E Beth and on Instagram at OMG. It's M-L-E.
Yeah, so... do you know who says "Vengeance is mine"?
That's like
a pop
know.
Culture reference.
Like, I have not heard mine. That, but somebody probably does. I'm sure.
I think it's like some cartoon. Anyways, yeah. It just popped in my head. I'm gonna go away. First thoughts.
I loved this episode. Like, this is probably, I was thinking about it, one of my favorite episodes ever in the Outlander series. Mm. And obviously written by Diana, so, you know, bow down to her. Obviously, it was going to be brilliant. But I just want to get started by saying, yes, Murtaugh, yes!
Right?
I'm so excited about that. I just had to sit there
and
for...
And Mary. I was like,
both of them. I just had to sit there for a minute after the scene happened, and I was like... Damn, Duncan. Like, that was so good. Yeah. But I love this episode, everything about it, and I'm so excited to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we start the episode with everyone reconvening with the prince, and they're doing a bunch of old man talk about the war.
Yes.
And swearing allegiance to the prince. I got a little confused by what was going on.
Yeah, it seemed like, who were those two? The Quartermaster John O'Sullivan and Lord General George Murray were the two that were going against the prince's wishes, because it seemed like the prince and Jamie both wanted to go straight to London.
Yeah.
Because Jamie even said they wanted to march to London because things would be different then of what happened in the history books. So he said maybe that would just mean history would be changed. So that's why they wanted to go to London.
Just straight to London, yeah.
Yeah. And it seemed obviously O'Sullivan and Murray did not want to do that. Mm-hmm. And now I understand after kind of looking at the whole thing and how history kind of affected it, of why Jamie was pushing to go to London, you know, and really backing the prince. So that kind of was shocking to me that everybody was so against him, but Jamie was kind of proving his alliance, obviously, to try to sway the decision of others. And that obviously didn't happen, so...
No, it didn't happen. So at one moment where the prince, like, Jamie swears allegiance and then no one else does it.
I know.
He gets so angry and, like, just struts off.
Yeah.
So they continue their voyage and they end up at this house, which name I have completely forgotten. What was that they ended up at?
I don't think I wrote it down. You're not talking about when they went to Inverness?
And is that where they meet the British? Where the British come?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
Yes, they're sent to Inverness.
They're
on their way to Inverness.
Yeah, because Sullivan kind of exiled them, kicked them out. He and Dougal, Jamie and Dougal and all their men told them to get out.
Find out on their way, don't they? They get the letter on their way, and that's why they end up stopping at that house.
I thought it was where they were at, just kind of like after, because remember Jamie looks out. They say, Dougal says, Prince Stuart took your horse.
Yeah.
And so I think it was kind of where they were at. Yeah.
You're right. And then so they find out that they've been exiled.
Yes.
In order to kind of deter their plans. And the prince is gone. He can no longer help them. And so we end up seeing the British come and take all their horses and capture their men that they have staying with the horses. And threatening that if you do not surrender, we will come in and we will burn down the house. Yeah. So they decide that Claire, being an English woman, Claire decides that she should go out as a hostage. And that if they exchange her, then they probably won't hurt them. And she amazingly is right. They didn't do anything to them. Because there was honor and war back in the day.
Yeah.
They agree to take her and save her from these British Scotsmen.
Yeah.
And in exchange, they will leave them alone. They won't kill them. They'll take everything. They took all their horses. Yeah. They took all their weapons. But as long as they have Claire, they're fine.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about that?
Okay, backing up just a little bit, when they got ambushed by the British, and they were kind of taken off, it was Murtaugh, Jamie, Claire, Dougal, Rupert, and Angus. And when Rupert got
Rupert got shot in the eye.
Yeah, I know. Well, when I first saw it happen, I thought it was his shoulder.
Yeah.
I didn't know that his eye was affected. And so I saw him kind of, you know, leaning over.
Well, that's right, because they took refuge in the house because they were attacked by the British.
Yeah, and then they went to the church, which is where they had to surrender everybody. But yeah, so when Dougal jumps over and, you know, onto Rupert's horse and like saves them, I feel like this episode, I just loved Dougal's character. Yeah. You know, last episode we saw him just kind of like mass murder, like execute everybody. But this episode we kind of got to see, you know, the more generous side of Dougal, I guess you could say. That scene how he jumped on the horse to save Rupert, and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, come on, Angus just died, you can't kill off Rupert too, because Rupert before that had mentioned Angus like twice already, you know, in the episode, just talking about when he got his teeth kicked out or something or knocked out, and you know, so you could just see that his character is still dealing with the death of Angus. And
Ross has joined them as well.
So I that was kind of good to see Dougal, like, obviously he's protecting his men, you know. Dougal's very much about like brotherhood and family and all that kind of stuff. So, and I found out after in that little little bit that plays that Starz kind of shows the behind the scenes, how Diana said that in the book Rupert dies in that church.
Oh.
But they couldn't kill him off because Angus died last week. Yeah. And so they had said I don't know if she'd already written it that way or if that's just the way it already goes in the books. Mm-hmm. But they said, you can't kill off Rupert in this episode. You can't write it that way because Angus, our beloved character. We just killed Angus,
yeah.
So then he ends up surviving, which is nice. And I'm sure everybody was happy to see that. But yeah, that whole scene with Jamie and Claire, I just love to see how protective he is of her, you know, and it's like both Sam and Katrina, their chemistry on screen is like incredible.
To the point where people harass them about it in real life.
I know. Yeah. It's like, it's a show. But just seeing how much he protects her and he's like, I'm not letting you go, because last time that happened, you know, they separated. It did not end well.
Or just to jump back all the way back.
Yeah.
Because it's coming back to me in little bits and pieces now because I watched it way too early this morning. But the moment where he's like basically pledging allegiance and promise to protect her in bed when she's asleep and he's doing it in Gaelic. It was so beautiful.
I know. It was.
I wish a guy would do that to me. And look like Sam Heughan. But anyways, you know. It was beautiful.
That was so sweet. I know. I loved that. And you just kind of showing like the calm before the storm, I guess, is maybe what they were trying to set up. And also, I think, foreshadowing, you know, how he kind of said like, protect her in this moment and other moments or something along those lines, where it's kind of foreshadowing that they're going to be separated, you know, at some point. So I loved that. I love seeing the kind of tender moments and then the more intense moments in the church when he's like, I'm not letting you go.
Yeah.
And true to Claire, her saying like, I don't care. Yeah.
This is the best thing. These are my people too.
Exactly. I'm going to make sure that I protect them. So yeah, that scene was really touching and kind of like, what do you do? Because you could see Jamie obviously did not want it to happen, but it's the best thing that they could have done, because he would have went out. We saw later all of those postings for his him wanted. So it would have ended bad for him anyway. So that was hard. But
she made the right choice, and she pulled rank on him. That lady bucked her line. She's like, no, I am just as invested in this as you are.
Yeah.
So the British take her. And they do get a little sleazy in the bar, one of them.
Which is gross. I'm like, I can't take that right now. Like,
let's not. I
don't want
to deal with this. Yeah. Let's not go there. She wakes up the next morning. They're going to take her. They're supposed to take her to, I can't remember the name, but they end up taking her to Belmont.
Yes.
I can't think of the name. But,
They
switch it because they assume Dougal tells her they're going to take you to this place. We will be there to take you back when you get there. And she discovers that they're actually taking her to a different place with that Englishman.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money and wealth that should be nice to her.
Yes.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And she walks out of the tavern and runs into Hugh Monroe.
Yes.
I thought he had a...
Okay, you're thinking of Horrocks, aren't you?
Probably.
Because that's the name that popped into my head, too. Okay. But I believe that was... I don't remember. I tried to look back at IMDb and tried to, like, look at who's who was who. And they have Hugh Monroe, and then they have Horrocks. And I think Horrocks was the one that Monroe told them about that blackmailed Jamie. And then... They killed him.
Yeah.
Remember? So but that name popped into my head too, and that's who I thought it was at first.
Because I think I always thought that he was Horrocks.
That's what I thought too. Nina,
because of like how they, and he can't talk, and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So, like, he didn't say his name.
Yeah.
But, so she runs into Hugh Monroe, mm-hmm. who is, you know, she's able to kind of, like, well, one, she's treated like crap immediately by the British guard and thrown onto the ground.
Yeah.
And in her moment of, like, shaming the guard and going to pick him up, she whispers to him, like, yeah. Jamie's coming for me here, and then pulls that classic of, like, I can't believe we're going to Belmont.
I know. Yeah.
How could you take me to Belmont? Like, are you getting it?
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. So that was a great fortune that he happened to be in the right place at the right time. She had an ally that could get the message to Jamie in some way. So she goes to the house, and it is the house of the rat bastard
Sandringham.
Sandringham. Oh, my God. Why is it so hard for me to say that? Anyways. And he does not give her up.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that he didn't do it, at least at that moment. Because he's just so vile that he just wanted to do it, like, 10 times better, which is, like...
Yeah. I think he, like, in that... Yeah. In that moment, I kind of... It looked like he likes to play these games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, what makes him happy, I guess, is to kind of see people squirm.
Yeah.
And I think he didn't want to do it in that moment because he had this, like, grander plan of using her, obviously. Yeah. And maybe he didn't know exactly how, but he knew if he had her...
Yeah.
Then he could kind of manipulate.
Yeah,
which is what he ended up doing. But just one step before that, when Dougal wanted to go with Jamie. Mm-hmm. Oh, and before I forget, when Jamie was going to carry Claire out of the church to the British,
and
Dougal's like, no, I
and
should
Dougal
do it. And kind of handed her off. I'm like, is that foreshadowing?
I hope not.
I know.
I cannot deal.
I liked Dougal's character this episode. But yeah, just that whole how she had promised Dougal that if Jamie was dead, she would marry him. And then Jamie's kind of handing her off. It was very kind of, I hope it's not foreshadowing. I hope it wasn't some symbolism. But it was weird. Just that kind of scene. I was like.
Yeah. I hope not. I doubt it only because she has a little redheaded child. In 1950-something.
Yes.
So, or 56. So, I assume that that is Jamie's child. But, I don't want her to be a Dougal.
I know. Yeah.
Dougal's no. He's nice when he wants to be. But you don't want a guy who's nice when he wants to be.
They're not supposed to be together.
No.
But, yeah, that scene just kind of, like, kind of threw me. But I liked how Dougal talked to the redcoats, how they said, you should go home. And, you know, and he was like, only when...
The right king is on the throne.
Yeah. But, yeah, that whole scene with the Duke, that was... I was not expecting that when they said they were going to Belmont. He walked in. I'm like, here we go. Like, get ready. Yeah.
With Sandringham, I thought that we were pretty much done with him. Because he's always just... I think the last we saw him, he was running out of the room after the fight with Mary happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last we saw him.
Yeah.
So I assumed he was just running away. But he ended up... He's in trouble with the British. But I... I forget why.
So I think his character, he was blamed of being a Jacobite.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because he was playing both sides.
Exactly. And he somehow got, and she said, why were you in the tower? And he said, you know, it was misunderstanding or something like that. And she's like, I'm sure. Like,
I'm amazed he got out of the tower.
I know. Nobody got out of the tower.
You don't get out.
Yeah.
That you die.
That's what I thought.
But he ends up... sorry, Mike is just doing something weird. He ends up giving her shelter, feeding her, appearing to be nice. He agrees to deliver a letter to Hugh Monroe in order to get to Jamie to let him know that she's in Belmont and stuff.
Yeah.
And she decides to write it in Gaelic in case the letter is intercepted, which is hilarious when they actually get the letter and they're like, what is this crap? This means what? The sandwich, yeah. What?
Yeah.
Does she mean sandwich? Like, yeah. I was like, that's beautiful. And they're just like totally trashing her Gaelic. But I'm skipping ahead. So she ends up getting the letter, and we discover that Mary is also there. And not only that, but she is the goddaughter of the Duke.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
Well, that as soon as I saw her come in, I thought about you, and I'm like, you're going to be so happy, because we were just talking last week about how...
what happened to Mary?
Yeah, just kind of was this dead end. So I'm like, okay, we're going to get some answers. So seeing her come in, I was so happy that at least she could be reunited with Claire. And then the whole goddaughter thing, which I was trying to work through.
Yeah.
But then just hearing how, you know, the Duke was kind of even using her to play the other side, too, with setting her up to marry...
Yeah.
Who... somebody on the British side. Something like that. So, I definitely was not expecting that. This whole episode, I feel like, constantly had, like, these twists and turns and, like, kept you on your toes the whole time. I was glad to see her kind of back in there and glad to see Claire, you know, kind of going back into that role that she had before and kind of comforting her and...
Protecting
her and trying to talk on her behalf to the Duke, you know, which led to that other huge moment in the episode that we finally uncovered. I don't know if we want to get into that or if there was anything else before that, because that was pretty big.
Yeah, I'm thinking if there was anything we jumped. No, I think we can go right to there. So so she's staying with the Duke. The letter's been delivered. Jamie and Murtagh are on their way. Oh, we should note how Jamie wanted to go on his own.
Yeah.
I think that might be a foreshadowing of something, of Jamie always wanting to do something on his own and never take backup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might get him in trouble at some point later down the road. Because he needs that backup. You know, he needed Murtagh there to help when things did get rough.
And,
To kind of throw, well, I guess not. I guess if Claire did it, he was okay. But it's just like, it's important to have somebody there. Like, this isn't, they're not living in a time where, one, Jamie isn't, like, wanted by an entire country, and two, a time where things are, you know, technologically advanced, so you can kind of like sneak into a house and do everything you need to do from your house. You don't have to leave. So he needs that kind of backup.
Yeah, and I liked that moment how Dougal was like, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was right after Jamie handed Claire off to Dougal, and then Dougal's like, I'm going with you to rescue her. And it was kind of like,
no.
I know, for me, with that foreshadowing of what we've heard before, you know, I'm like, oh gosh, don't let this happen. But how he still wanted to go by himself, and then how Murtagh said, you know, you can order him, but you can't order me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going with you. And I knew that something big was going to happen with Murtagh's character this episode, just because in the beginning, just the whole episode up until that point, he was very kind of like, kind of quiet in the background. You know, he's giving Claire kind of like these weird looks as she's like pulling people's teeth in the beginning, you know, and all this. I kind of thought like he's being abnormally quiet and just kind of watching. So something's going to happen with his character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked that how he kind of showed his bond with Jamie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm going with you. I don't care what's laying ahead of us. Like, I'm going to make sure you're okay. So that was really sweet.
Right-hand man. Like,
you
can't abandon him.
Yeah.
But before we jump into the main thing, one of our sponsors here is Casper. Casper is was invented with two high-tech foams that guarantee you sleep cool and comfortable with all the support you need. In fact, the Time magazine named the Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Their new sheets and pillow are just as comfortable. Together, they were designed to create the perfect sleep environment so you stay cool and balanced all night. Your Casper mattress ships free in a box so small you won't believe it holds a mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. Best of all, you can try it at home for 100 nights risk-free, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. So go to casper.com/AfterBuzz and use code AfterBuzzTV for $50 towards your purchase of your mattress. That's casper.com/AfterBuzz, code AfterBuzzTV, and get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. All right.
Awesome. So, I'm doing it.
Now, it's really comfortable. Going back to that moment with the Duke. Mm-hmm. The Duke was like one of those villains that if he had like a twisty mustache, he would tell you like everything. He would tell you like, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to destroy you. And it's like, you really should not tell somebody your entire plan before you do it. Because then your chances are they're going to intercept your plan in some way and stop it. So when he was doing that, I was like, Why are you telling her all of this?
Right. Like, and I think, and I completely agree with you. And I think for him, he does it because he likes to see how people are in distress because of him. Like, I think he likes that, you know, which is creepy and weird. And but with that whole scene, how Claire notices his assistant or whoever he is, I don't know his official title back then, but notices the birthmark on his hand.
Yeah.
And I knew something was going to come up because in the previews they showed that. So I'm like, something's going to come back. How she recognized him automatically, but I was not expecting the Duke to have such a big part in what happened to them. That was kind of crazy, but I was also glad, and I thought of you again, when they brought the Comte into it, and they said it was him that wanted to kill
Claire,
and then the Duke said, and it made me like want to vomit when he said, you know, you should thank me because I convinced him just to rape you. Like, you should be so happy about that. And I just wanted to punch him through my screen. Like, how dare you? But anyway, just knowing that finally that little bit of closure that the Comte was behind and he wanted her dead. And then, that the Duke just kind of turned a blind eye was crazy. And I'm just so glad that they kind of tied that up nicely for us with a little bit. So like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But mentioning what he wanted to do, what his plans are with Jamie, and how he was planning to marry off Mary so that he could play both sides still was just sick. And
he's so crazy. Well, just the whole moment of the reveal of his butler being the rapist, how she kind of, you know, start to ask questions, and how he just kind of gave it up very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't kind of try and play it off. He didn't try to hide it. He's like, how does she know? And then he goes into the whole thing and talks about how, well, if he can get Red Jamie, then he can have his freedom back. He doesn't have to be resigned to this house anymore and all that kind of stuff. And that he's already basically notified the British and that they're just lying in wait for him.
Yeah.
But that whole moment where you realize that he, like, when she says, but Mary's your goddaughter, and she was attacked, and he's like, well, it was kind of like he's like, bygones. Like, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But it was just like, God.
I know.
I really hope we kill you this episode.
Like, I hope you die.
He has to die now, because if he's not playing the coward card, if he's not just taking off running, like, after the duel and just running off.
Yeah.
Or just running off after the fight that he knows he started. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look back at it now, it's even worse because he knew what happened to Mary.
Yeah.
And he knew that they were attacked and what the intention of that attack was. And he was just like, oh, okay.
Didn't even care.
Bye. We'll call the cops.
I know. Yeah.
Like,
wait.
Oh, my God.
I know. I obviously have never liked his character, but it was always something where I just kind of looked at him as somebody that was like, oh, you're creepy and like, just don't even care, whatever. But this whole episode with what he admitted to and how much he was involved was like a whole new low for me with this character. And I just thought, like, I want you gone. Like, I don't care how it happens. Mm-hmm. I hope you are collateral damage. But I was thinking that he wasn't going to be, just because I feel like his character is something that they could do so much with, because he always has his hand somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So I did not think that what was going to happened.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think that was going to happen. But I'm glad. Very glad that it did.
So relieved, because I was so sick of his character. But I was like, I can't deal with you anymore.
Yeah.
How do you get away with all this crap?
I know.
So he sends Claire to her room and locks her in, because he still has to play his game. And it's like he doesn't even know his own house.
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
Secret passages galore everywhere.
I know.
And Mary struts in like, why are you locked in your room? Like, what is going on? She's like, okay, well, this is what's... She didn't tell her then that Sandringham was responsible, which I thought was interesting. She just told her, Jamie is coming into a trap. I need to get out and notify him and warn him in some way. And so I forget why it is... She gets caught by the Duke. She's walking through the kitchen, and he's sitting there eating. Yeah. And so they end up... It's just such a cat and mouse thing of like, I so want to kill you, and I so want to kill you. But we're going to sit here, and we're going to have some dinner.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk about stuff. So she ends up having Mary go out and notify Hugh, who's made it there before Jamie, and to tell him that, you know, you're walking into a trap. Watch out.
Yeah.
But as she's going, the British soldiers, like, there lying in wait for anyone to appear and grabs her. And the butler, a.k.a. rapist, comes over and, like, that he's just, like, sleazy.
I know. Creepy.
Sleazy.
Yeah.
And takes her back and notifies the Duke that she was trying to go out the front door. And she was like, well, I'm just trying to run away because I don't want to marry that dude. I don't know. It was a very interesting setup to get them all in the same room.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, I thought the first thing I thought of during that scene when Claire first goes down and the Duke isn't wearing his wig and he, like, was like, ah, whatever, you know, pardon the informality, you know, and he's like eating and stuff. And then just jumping forward, but I won't go too far forward, but when Jamie comes in and he like rushes to put
his wig on. I saw that and I was like, why?
Yeah. But I liked how Mary's character, you know, because in the beginning when Claire said, I need you to do this, I can't explain why. Yeah. And Mary's like, I can't go out in the dark by myself, you know, and obviously it's probably still kind of, you know, traumatized by what happened to her. So that was understandable.
And then Claire kind of is like, I'll
Claire's like, whatever, I'll do it. But then the fact that Mary kind of was going to come and do that and help out Claire, I thought was really, really like noble of her and cool to see. And I thought, you know, it was good kind of like lying on Mary's part, how she's like, I'm hungry,
I'm hungry and I want to run away, but I also want food.
Yeah, I know. But I thought that was good kind of like a way to cover it up a little bit. Yeah. But you could see the looks going on between her and Claire and just everybody that something was going to go down. Yeah.
And then Jamie just pops up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
He just walked in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I thought this whole place was watched. He was able to just, like, strut right in.
Right.
Pull a knife out. Butler boy grabs Claire, puts a knife to her throat. Mm-hmm. And they have this face-off, basically, where Claire basically tells Jamie that Sandringham was responsible for the attack.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is hearing this for the first time as well.
Yeah.
What did you feel about that introduction?
Oh my gosh, that scene was just so intense for me. Like I had to watch it again just to kind of take everything in. But I loved the moment as soon as Claire said, this guy, you know, or he was responsible for our attack.
Yeah.
You could just see Jamie look at Murtaugh and Murtaugh's face was like, I don't know if it was right after that was said or maybe like a couple seconds later, but you could see Murtaugh's face like, okay, it's going down.
Yeah,
you know,
he made the vow.
Exactly. Yeah. So, that whole part, how it was kind of like setting up of who was going to get it or what was going to happen. I knew Mary was going to do something because I saw on Twitter some people the day before I watched the episode, people were like, yes, Mary, like, way to go, you know.
No,
so I knew, I knew something was going to happen with her. So I kind of had an idea that she was going to play some part in somebody dying. I didn't think it was going to be the Duke. I thought for sure she was going to get the rapist, butler, the rapist. So I was happy for her to kill somebody,
dude,
I guess I could say.
when I saw her pick up the knife, I was like, yes,
do it.
It was like when I went to go see Death Proof in the theaters. Spoiler alert for Death Proof, if you want to see that movie. At the end, it's a whole car chase movie, and Kurt Russell's like tormenting these women, and he thinks he's killed them, but he hasn't. And he doesn't realize that they're also just, like, badasses. And they chase him down and they beat the shit out of him. And at the end of the movie, all the women in the audience were like, yeah! Kill him!
Yes.
And so just to see that, and all the guys were kind of like, whoa. Because you don't always get that, I think, as a woman. Like, the revenge, moment.
Yeah.
You know? We don't always get to see that.
Yeah.
So when Mary picked up the knife, I was like,
Do it.
And she just shanked him. And I was like, yes.
I know. That was awesome. You could just see it in her eyes. Like, this super, like, naive, kind of innocent little girl, you know, that we saw, you know, a few months ago. I guess it's been, or a little bit longer than that. But just to see that transition now to, like, killing somebody. I was, you know, it's weird to, like, celebrate somebody's death. But, like, I was happy for her that she got that moment. Like, you know, here, you know, have a little taste of your own medicine,
exactly.
I guess, you know? But the bigger thing for me was the Duke's death was just crazy. Like, I did not expect that at all. And just seeing how, like, Duncan, who plays Murtaugh, just brilliant acting. You could just see the relief as soon as he took, as soon as he killed the Duke, you know, he picks up his head and you could just see it felt like his just 10 pounds were lifted off his shoulder. It's like, I finally did it.
And he was so regal with it. And he was holding this like decapitated head.
Yeah.
And he puts it down at Mary's feet.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've got you, I've given you your vengeance.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like Mary's face is just like, this is really intense.
Yeah.
Like,
even
I know
Claire.
I shanked someone, but this is a bit much, but we should probably go.
Right.
Like, but it was beautiful to see him get that because, and for Mary to get that, because I think for both of them especially, it was just such a loss for Mary in terms of like, of that time, what it meant as a woman to be raped, and that there was a lot of victim shaming that went along with it, that she was no longer of a certain quality anymore.
Right.
And for Murtaugh, his like pride and his ability to protect had come into question. So for them to both like get in a way that returned to them, no matter what society might think of Mary or what, you know, people might think of Murtaugh, that they were able to get it for themselves.
Yeah.
It was really nice to see.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so great. And I always try to, when I watch the beginning of these episodes, I feel like they give a little teaser of what's going to happen with what they do. In the very beginning of the episode, they had somebody like getting the wig ready.
Yeah.
And then he accidentally hits it and the wig falls on the ground. And so I was thinking, the whole head falls. Yeah, the whole, oh, that's true. The whole head, the whole mannequin head falls.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to think like, okay, what is that going to represent? And now, obviously, the Duke's head is chopped off by Murtaugh, just handling it, taking care of business. And I liked
Bye,
it.
Duke.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sick of that Duke.
I know. Like, yay, Murtaugh, you did it.
Yeah.
And Mary. Woo.
Right. So now they're on the road again.
Yeah.
And was there anything else we want to cover?
I don't think so. I just put in my notes Murtaugh for the win.
Right?
It was just, yeah, that just that scene was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really think this whole episode was just one of my favorites just because everything that kind of came into play, you saw Jamie and Claire's passion, you know, and how much they love each other. You saw Murtaugh and Mary get their revenge that was very much deserved. We saw a little bit of action fighting. We saw, you know, just everything I felt like was such a good episode. And I think Diana did an amazing job.
I was just gonna
obviously
say, that's what happens when like the writer comes in.
Exactly.
And it's like, let me show you how it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. She killed it. It was an awesome episode.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved it.
All right. Well, let's go into predictions.
All right.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
Okay. So, for the predictions, it looks like next week, Black Jack Randall is back, and I'm so sad about that because we only have two more episodes left. I'm trying to kind of stay away from if is history going to be changed or not. I'm not sure, you know, as far as what the predictions are going to be. But it looks like next episode they're introducing that in 3 days the big battle's supposed to happen. And Black Jack is back in business and back with them. So I'm wondering if that's when Mary and Black Jack kind of get, you know, because she's supposed to marry him at some point, according to history. So I'm hoping that that's not when they get introduced and that kind of spurs her future, I guess.
What about Alex?
I know. Well, I'm hoping, look, with this whole thing, it's like, yeah, these are actual historical events and these are things that actually happened.
Yeah.
But with this series and with the show, we're playing with time travel.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that everything forever is going to be set in stone because we have this mythical element that's coming into things.
Their universe is not our universe. So they're using historical things from our universe. They can stray from whatever they want to historically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have more to?
No, that was it.
With the reintroduction of Black Jack Randall, I don't even know what he's doing there. Like, that was my first thought. Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be healing in London?
Right. Well, it's been a few months, so maybe he's kind of patched up.
Why don't you even come back? But there was also that weirdness of the fact that they were, like, in a room and not necessarily, like, I mean, yeah, it's uncomfortable because he's, like, an awful human being. But it didn't seem like there was, like, a tension. It didn't seem like there was, like, an attempt at an attack. So I was wondering why Claire ends up in a room
with
Blackjack Randall. So that I don't. Does that mean in some way Jamie's captured?
I hope not. I don't know.
I really can't deal with that again.
I can't. I know. Let's not go there again, please. Let's
not do that again. But I think that the history won't be changed. Mm-hmm. I still believe that she's going to leave before, because just based off of the first episode, she's going to leave before she can find out what happens and assumes the worst. But that's not the case. I also think that maybe they might do a split where we get to see what's happening to Jamie. And all the book readers are going to be like, duh. we see what Jamie's going through in the past and what Claire's going through in the future before
they reunite.
So yeah. I think that might be, which will be frustrating, but whatever. I can take it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Bring it on, Outlander. Oh, we should mention too, next week.
Yes. We will not be here on Sunday. We'll be coming in on
Monday. At 5.
Let me confirm that. Yeah. Yes. Monday at 5. So the show will be just one day late. We will also have a guest as well. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
All right. So that about wraps it up for this episode of the after show for Outlander. I said that completely backwards. My brain is like flipping, flopping. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. And here's my co-host.
I'm Emily Harlan. You can follow me on Twitter at Emily Beth and on Instagram at OMG. It's MLE.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.